Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatath Padakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavam Shri Rupam Sargajatam Sahagana Nakurmatam Vitam Tam Sajana Sadvaitam Savadhutam Purajana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam So I'd like to request you to all do something very healthy, which is to join me in saying Hare Krishna. Please say Hare Krishna. The more enthusiastically you say it, the more healthy it is. Please say again Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Very good for health. Bhakti is very good for health. You can tell all your future patients. They say that you should see nice things, isn't it? And hear good sounds and smell nice smells. In bhakti it's all there. We have nice kirtan, very soothing. And we see the form of Krishna. We smell the flowers offered to Krishna. Very good for health. Of course, bhakti is not meant simply for bodily health. For that we have Ayurveda. How to keep the body healthy. What's the ultimate purpose of Ayurveda? Who can say? You've all come here to study Ayurveda, no? What? Why are you learning Ayurveda? Why are you studying it? Don't know? Don't want to say? Never thought of it? Anyone? Any volunteers? Probably you're doing it because you're thinking I have to have earn some money. That's the reason most people study at colleges. That there are a million and one things you could do, but this is one of them. But ultimately, Ayurveda is meant for the same purpose as Dhanurveda. Ayurveda is meant for preserving life, and Dhanurveda is meant for killing, isn't it? But ultimately, it's meant for all. It's meant for the same purpose, which is Vaidaischa Veraham Eva Vedyaha, for understanding Krishna, for understanding the purpose of life, keeping the body healthy. That is not very important if we consider that anyway it's going to die. So however healthy you are, however much your kapha, pitta and vayu are all balanced, anyway you're going to die. So really the purpose of life, human life, is to understand what comes next and act in such a way that we don't get born again. This is the ultimate understanding of Ayurveda. So they're teaching you well here? They're giving you good education? What do you think? It's good education. You're going to be expert in Ayurveda when you come out? Is it? You're going to understand everything about Ayurveda when you come out? Is it? Yes. I doubt it. I was recently speaking with one, he's a well-known Vaid in Ahmedabad. Mukesh Bhai Paneri, he's quite well-known. You know him? Heard of him? He's well-known in Gujarat, Dr. Paneri. He travels all over the world actually. Isn't he? Paneri. No, he travels all over. Mukesh Bhai. He's quite famous in the Western world because he cures Parkinson's disease, which in the allopathic system they have no cure for. So he's quite well known. And people even fly in from the West to come to see him and stay with him and get treated because they don't have it. So I was speaking with him recently and he told me, being an honest man, he said, I don't know very much about Ayurveda. He said, when I see what I've studied and I consider how much more there is, I think I've come maybe 0.1% of understanding what is Ayurveda. So if we study, if we know 0.1%, you can practice and you can teach, but any branch of knowledge is so vast that if we actually go into it deeply, we won't find the end of it. Now, Ayurveda in the modern age is, what do you think? Facing a lot of challenges, isn't it? There are many different systems of medicine. That's one kind of challenge. The different systems are there. Another thing is that Ayurveda is designed for treating people who live a what is considered a natural and normal lifestyle. Whereas people in the modern, just like I was saying, Parkinson's disease. So Parkinson's disease, it's a modern disease. I don't think you'll find in Ayurveda there's a name for that. Huh? Is it a modern name?
No, we don't follow the modern name. We have same symptoms.
Yeah.
In olden days, we have different names for that.
Okay.
But
it's a particular manifestation of an ancient syndrome.
Same type of disease was there.
But he was telling me that it's especially prevalent in the modern age because it's caused by stress. That's the common cause of Parkinson's disease. So stress, it's always there. Just like if you consider the Pandavas, they must have been under a lot of stress, isn't it? Draupadi must have been under a lot of stress. But in the modern age, everyone is living a very stressful life. And the common pattern of life which people are supposed to follow, taking rest early, rising early, eating foods which are conducive for our health, instead of eating, you go to the store, you get, what's this, Lay's chips or something, you open it up, it's not healthy. Eating at any time, anything, food cooked by people who are not our well-wishers, that also affects our consciousness. Commercially produced food, the consciousness that goes into that also affects us. If we eat what is cooked by our mother, then we get mother's love with that. Subtle effect. If you eat what is produced commercially, you get all the frustration of the factory worker. That all affects our health. Is that correct? It's all very subtle. So all these things affect. The modern way of life is great for doctors. You get plenty of patients. Very good for doctors. Of course, the doctors themselves, they're more stressed than anyone. Because they're more concerned with prestige and earnings and money, and mostly they don't follow their own advice. I don't know about the Ayurvedic field, but you'll find most allopathic doctors, they smoke. Many of them are chain smokers because it helps to reduce the stress. So it's a crazy world we live in, and people are getting more and more sick, and even in modern medicine they're recognizing more and more that they talk about psychosymptomatic diseases, but practically all disease originates in the mind. In fact, disease can be said to be a state of mind. Disease. Ease is a state of mind. And disease, non-ease, it's also a state of mind. Cancer, very common in the modern age. So, that according, I don't know what they say in Ayurveda, but in naturopathy, they say that cancer is more likely to occur in people who have very bad feelings towards others, who nourish in their hearts calm, krodh, especially krodh, lobe, who have this bad feeling towards others, that will manifest as cancer. There's any such thing said in Ayurveda also? Ayurveda and naturopathy should be quite close. So people are, the disease is manifesting from their own bad consciousness. So in Krishna consciousness, we are promoting the highest consciousness. That is to understand Krishna. Now this should all, as I was saying, bhakti is very good for health. If we also see the beautiful form of Krishna, You all go sometimes to Udupi and take darshan, Sri Krishna there? Is it? I hope so, because you've come to this place. Most of you are not from this area, I think, is it? Where are you all from? From North India, many? Where are you from? Rajasthan, you see, from North India. So in Rajasthan we have Govindaji in Jaipur. You're from Jaipur? So you go there for darshan of God. So same Govinda is here as Krishna. So you should go. When you enter the temple, you can feel, very nice, isn't it? Whenever you enter the temple. Here they have also Venugopal temple. So automatically entering, we feel it's very, very nice. Why is it very nice? What is so nice about entering a temple? It's a brick building with some plaster on the... What is it? What is it that makes the temple so calming, soothing to the soul? Because Krishna is there. So Krishna consciousness is meant for exactly that, to be aware of Krishna. We should always think of Krishna. Krishna is everybody's best friend. Krishna is especially the doctor's best friend, because every doctor should understand that I cannot heal any patient. We have no ability to heal anyone. The ability that ultimately everything rests on Krishna. We cannot do anything. We can, remembering Krishna, we can prescribe certain medicines, considering that this is His gift. And if He so wishes, this patient can be healed. You should tell the patients that also. The doctor should be the number one theist, because he should see that this, how anyone is living or how anyone is getting cured, it's all a miracle. There are so many cases of people who the doctors, they look at them and they say, okay, never mind, no use to treat. Hopeless case. And they come back half and he'll die within 10 minutes. He's already finished. There's nothing we can do for him. And they come back and they say, what happened? He walked out. There are so many cases like that, isn't it? And there are many cases also, someone who's very fit and healthy, and then just they just drop dead on the spot. So life that is coming from Krishna, that is given by Krishna and is taken by Krishna. So the doctor should think, I am simply a tool in the hand of Krishna. And if you think like that, then you can be a very good doctor. And the patients will be very happy with you also. You should also help the patients. Main thing, like we're saying, disease is a state of mind. So you have to tell the patients in each case, that because mostly when people get sick, they feel very disturbed. Anyway, you feel disturbed because of pain, there are different kinds, so many different kinds of disease. There's sharp pain and throbbing pain, nausea, so many different kinds of discomfort that are produced from disease. So we can tell the patient that you please understand that anyway, everything is in the hands of God, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Hindu, or whatever. So you please rely on God, and whatever has come, you accept that it is His mercy. And actually, this is very good for the patients also. I have personal experience. About 3 months ago, I went to the dentist, and for some reason known to him only, he decided to drill my teeth without using any anesthetic. So it was quite painful. So he was drilling away and I was sitting there, and it was very painful. But then I thought, remembering Bhagavad Gita, I remembered, anyway, I'm not the body. So this pain has no connection with me. And anyway, if it's some pain, it must be some karma I have to take. So then I relaxed. And after I finished, the dentist said, I saw at the beginning, you were all very tense. But then you just relaxed. What happened? I said, I remembered Bhagavad Gita. I'm not the body. It's very helpful when we're suffering. So the best doctor is devotee of Krishna. And traditionally in Ayurveda, all the Ayurveda or any, everything in Vedic culture must be God-centered. This Ayurveda is a gift from Dhanvantari Bhagavan. So remembering him, always praying for his mercy, just like the musicians before they begin, they must always offer respect to Saraswati Devi. So the doctor also, he must always, in any, whatever you're doing, you should always remember your guru and remember the devata and pray for their mercy. This is the cultured or Vedic way of thinking, that we cannot do anything individually. We should simply act, taking whatever knowledge we have received as a gift from God, and try to use that in the service of others. And that way you will be very happy and you'll be a very good doctor. And you can make spiritual advancement going toward Krishna. Nowadays medicine is a business. People, they get their degree and then they become a specialist and a super specialist and then they earn lots of money. But they don't care for the patients. They only care how much money is in the patient's pocket and how much can I take out. Recently one of my friends, Sannyasi, he'd been preaching Krishna consciousness in Africa. And he was changing planes in Frankfurt Airport and he collapsed. And it was malaria. And African malaria is much more severe than Indian malaria. Indian malaria is no fun either. Who had malaria? I don't wish it on you, but... Any of you had malaria? Well, I'm glad to hear that. I had it many times. And it's not a fun experience. It's miserable. But African malaria is even much more serious and tends to be fatal, much more so. So, but the doctors, they called doctors and they said, who's paying? Not that a man is here, he could die. The first question he asked, who's paying? Does he have medical insurance? They wouldn't touch him. Because they're interested in the money. So if we're simply interested in money, then we ourselves cannot be happy, because money doesn't bring happiness. Service brings happiness. And all these Vedic sciences, like Ayurveda, they give us the opportunity to serve mankind in a manner ordained by God. In this way you can be very happy. If you had to do the allopathic system, then it's all based on chance. People, they don't really know what they're doing. It's all by experiment. And many times they find out that the drugs that they prescribe, they have side effects. They often find out 10 years later, 15 years later. I remember when I was a child, it was a big scandal because one of the earliest tablet or mass prescribed contraceptives for women, I mentioned this last time I was here also, it was called thalidomide. And then they had so many children being born as a result of this contraceptive, the children were still being born, but they were being born without hands and legs. They were just, instead of having an arm, they had hands and legs, but no arm, just a hand would be there. Maybe one arm would be missing, or two arms, or one arm and one leg. And the foot would just be joined to the torso, like this. So it was a big scandal. And they said, oh, sorry, never mind, we'll find a new drug. So they found new drugs. But still, all these medicines, whatever they are, they all have side effects. So Ayurveda, in that sense, it's more scientific. Because it's given, it's knowledge coming from up above. It's not that what we experiment and find out, but it's knowledge given by Bhagavan. So we can be more sure. Of course, we have to be expert. If we're not expert, then we may prescribe the wrong kind of treatment also. So we have to know what we're doing, but we can be sure that this is a science given by God. And in practicing that, we should also try to, with our patients and in our own lives, try to expand the glory of God. But tell people, This is an ancient science. This is our ancient culture. This culture is meant not simply for nourishment of the body, but for nourishment of the soul. We should tell people that living this unnatural life, this is very bad for health. You should rise early in the morning, do sadhana. Without sadhana, no one can be happy in life. I hope you're all doing some sadhana. Rise early in the morning, chant the names of God, chant Vishnu Sahasranam or Bhagavad Gita, do arati, all these things. All these things are required in human life. Without this, no one can be happy. So tell people this, and ourselves, if we live by these tenets, people will see that you don't need Pepsi Cola. Tell people, don't live by this. This is very bad for health. Cold Pepsi Cola with all carbon dioxide and chemicals. You tell people that Bhagavan himself has given very nice thing. You get plenty of it in this area. Not in Rajasthan, but this coconut. Better, isn't it? Very good for health. I think cheaper than Pepsi also, isn't it? So tell people how to live a healthy life. Live a healthy life. And be sure that real health comes from what they call the holistic approach. That means we have to see body, mind, and soul. Ultimately, everything depends on the soul. Who is spiritually healthy, then they are healthy. Actual health. And if we have simply bodily health, but we don't have spiritual health, then that is actually being sick. Because we are soul, we are not the body. Treatment of the body is only to make it healthy so that we can practice Krishna consciousness or find out what is the ultimate purpose of life. We should know what is the purpose of life. Now you want to treat the body and make it very fit, but why should the body be fit and healthy? For what purpose? Just like you may have a very good car, Mercedes-Benz car, and you keep a mechanic and you keep it very in good running order, always painting it and washing it and changing the oil on time. But what is the purpose of the car? Where are you going to go in that car? You just keep it for looking at? No. You should go someplace. So in the same way, we have this human body. So we should keep it fit and healthy as far as possible. But we should know that it has a purpose also. This body is meant for carrying us somewhere. So the human form of life is especially meant for God realization. Otherwise, ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanyame tat pashubhir naranam. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending, the animals do. And the humans do also. So what is the difference between a human and an animal? Humans drink Pepsi Cola, that's not the difference. Humans go to movies, that's not the difference. That's not the intrinsic difference is dharmo hite shamadhiko visesham. In human life, we have the opportunity to practice dharma. Human life is not meant for going to movies, drinking Pepsi Cola, playing sports, but human life is meant for practicing dharma. Therefore, dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. A human being without dharma is simply an animal. So please try to understand that this Ayurveda, that is known as an Upaveda. It is subsidiary to the main Vedas. It is to help people to understand, to come to the conclusion of Vedic life, which is Vaidaishcha Sarve Raham Eva Vedyaha. The purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. So this Vedic knowledge is all meant to lead us to the highest platform of human existence, not simply to make the body healthy so that we can go on with eating, sleeping, mating and defending, but to understand what is the highest existence, Krishna consciousness, by understanding which we don't have to get a body again. Because the body itself Sharira Vyadhi Mandiram. It is a mandir of disease. There must be disease in the body. How many diseases does Ayurveda recognize?
Ayurveda is more important to the body.
It doesn't.
The body,
It talks about the condition of the body.
Body is more important
than I read somewhere that charak.
From one to innumerable.
Innumerable, yeah. Because even each disease in each person could be classified differently. Because it's not exactly the same in each person. But I was reading somewhere in allopathy, they classify about 3,000 diseases. I was saying, that's not much. I thought there were more. Anyway, there are more coming. And whatever they think they got, they thought they got rid of TB and now it's coming again. They're very afraid. And flu, they're very afraid that now there's going to be a big epidemic of flu. After the Second World War, there was a big bout of flu. No, First World War. There was a big bout of flu which went all around the world for 3 years. And it, from about 1918 to 1921, and it killed more people than were killed in the First World War. So now they're very afraid. The same strain of flu is coming again. And they don't know what to do. What will you do? What will you do when hundreds of bodies are coming? Sometimes you find in history whole areas of Europe, they were full of people and then finished. No one there. Some epidemic came and everything wiped out. Our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our acharyas, he describes, this was 19th century Bengal, and he was from a very wealthy family, Zamindar family. And then he was sent to Calcutta for education, and he got the news that cholera had hit his village. He went to visit. No one, there were three or four people out of several thousand people finished. Those who hadn't died had left. Finished. So what will you do when epidemic comes? We shouldn't think, I am in control here. I can cure. We should know everything is in the hands of God. So please remember Him. That will be the perfection of your Ayurveda. For that purpose we are preaching and teaching this Krishna consciousness. We have so many books of Krishna consciousness. This higher consciousness of Krishna consciousness, understanding who is Krishna, what is our relationship with Him. That will actually make your life successful. Otherwise, I must be frank, I see so many young people of your age, they're quite hopeful, but later on they become very disappointed. Or even of your age or younger, I see so many people now, even children, 12 years old, suffering from severe depression. It's very common. Students, they're studying, and they're doing very well, and 2 years into the course, they get hit by depression, and they can't open a book, they can't do anything. So these things are going. Now they're saying in the Western world, they're expecting that psychological disease is going to be more than physical disease, the way things are going. 70% of people in America in the last 10 years have consulted a psychiatrist. That means they're all crazy. Everyone's suffering because modern life is so disturbed. So we can keep undisturbed, undiseased, if we keep in focus what is the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our relationship with Him. Without that, life is just empty and meaningless. Because if we pursue the modern way of life, what is it? Drink a Pepsi, go to a movie, and you go on doing this, go to a party, have this girlfriend, drop that one, pick up another one, and life goes on like this. But after a short time we find there's no meaning here. It's all meaningless. Then we have to find out what is the real meaning of life. You have that Bhagavad Gita as it is? Can you bring that? I went through the same thing. At age 16 or 17, wondering what is the purpose of life? What are we living for? I'm expected to go to university, get a degree, get a good job. What for? No one could tell me. They say, well, you can get money. Everyone's got money, but they're not happy. I'm seeing everyone around me. They've all got plenty of money, but I don't see anyone's happy. Then why should I follow the same path as you? No one could give any reply. They say, anywhere you go to university. They say, why should I go? No one can say. Then eventually one teacher told me, well, at least if you go to university, you don't have to do much work for 3 years. You just have fun and go to parties. Then I thought, definitely I'm not going to go. If that's the reason for going to university, I won't go. So instead, I came to find out what is enlightenment by the natural path, by following Bhagavad Gita as it is. So there is a short talk on what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of Ayurveda? What is the purpose of Ayurveda? Can anyone say no? What is the ultimate purpose? What is the original purpose for which the rishis gave Ayurveda? No answer. If your patients ask you, what will you say? One to one. In a group you can all avoid, but if it's one to one, you should give an answer. What will you say? Anyone? Atma? Atulasya? Roga prashamanam. Yeah, well that's not the ultimate purpose, because swastham in itself is not, it's not the ultimate purpose of life simply to be healthy, is it? You can have roga nivaranam, but then death will come. So we should have good health. What for? Sharirik swast. How they say, kya fayda hota? We should keep healthy because achi swast anukul hoti hai Bhagavan Shri Krishna ki sadhana karne ke liye. This is the reason. Manav janma ka udeshya hai param satya arthat Bhagavan Krishna ka anusandhan karna. To agar swast achi ho to anukul hote hain Bhagavan ki seva karne ke liye. To isliye swast achi hona chahiye. तो अगर स्वास्थ्य अच्छी है लेकिन हमारी भावना राक्षसी रावण भी तो बहुत बलिष्ठ था ना. रावण की स्वास्थ्य अच्छी थी नहीं. तो अगर स्वास्थ्य अच्छी है लेकिन भावना रावण जैसे, रावण की भावना जैसे, तो उससे क्या फायदा होता है? अच्छा होता रावण की स्वस्थ अच्छी नहीं होती. तो स्वस्थ अच्छी होना चाहिए जिससे हम भगवान की साधना बिना तकलीफ से कर सकते हैं. तो यही उद्देश्य है. आपका क्या राय है? सहमत? अच्छा, तो आप लोग की स्वास्थ्य कैसी है? तबीयत गर्मी में तो आप सब राजस्थान के, तो ये राजस्थान जैसे गर्म नहीं है अभी, राजस्थान में तो बहुत बहुत गर्म होते हैं। तो अच्छा है, आपकी स्वास्थ्य अच्छी है, आशा है कम से कम युवकाल में स्वास्थ्य अच्छी होगी। अगर युवकाल में स्वास्थ्य अच्छी नहीं होती तो बुढ़ापे में कैसे होगी? तो इसलिए शास्त्र में, श्रीमद् भागवत में प्रहलाद महाराज कहते हैं कि कौमार आचरित प्रज्ञो धर्मं भगवतानिह दुर्लभं मानुषं जन्म तदाप्य ध्रुवं अर्थदम्। कि युवकाल से नहीं, बचपन से भगवत धर्म अवलंबन करना चाहिए, क्योंकि इस मानव जन्म बहुत ही दुर्लभ है लेकिन निश्चित नहीं है। आज या कल या 10 साल के बाद या 20 साल के बाद मृत्यु आएगा, तो निश्चित है कि मृत्यु आएगा, कब वो निश्चित नहीं है, आज भी हो सकता है, आशा है नहीं होगा लेकिन होगा। तो इसलिए मरण के पहले भगवान की भक्ति करना चाहिए, जिससे पुनर्जन्म नहीं होगा, जिससे मानव जन्म की सफलता मिलेगी। तो इसलिए अच्छी स्वस्थ होना चाहिए, और इसलिए युवकाल के पहले कौमारावस्था में भगवान की भक्ति पालन करना चाहिए बचपन से, क्योंकि आयु, आयुर्वेद, आयुर् क्या वेद, तो आयु का पहले भाग में तो स्वस्थ, सामान्यतः स्वस्थ अच्छी होती है, तो मन ताजा रहते हैं और शरीर का बल होते हैं, तो इसलिए अनुकूल है कृष्ण भक्ति करने के लिए। तो यही हमारा निवेदन है कि आप आयुर्वेद छात्र हैं और आपका भाग्य से इस पुण्य स्थल उडुपी मणिपाल में पढ़ाई करते हैं। तो ये सब अवसर मिलके आयुर्वेद के साथ परम वेद कृष्ण तत्व ज्ञान अवगत होना, और इस प्रकार से आपका दुर्लभ मानव जन्म सफल होगा। हरे कृष्ण। सो इट्स अ वेरी डीप सब्जेक्ट। Whoever thinks I know everything about anything knows nothing about it. So if we think, someone is saying, yes, we shall study here for 3-4 years, then we shall know everything about Ayurveda. Not possible. You can only learn the basics. So similarly, to know about Krishna, it's not possible to know everything. But this much we should know, what Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is supreme. We are his servants, we are not the body, the body is temporary, human life is meant for understanding Krishna. This much we should know, what is in Bhagavad Gita. So we are simply requesting everyone, you please study Bhagavad Gita as it is. That means this edition of Bhagavad Gita presents Krishna consciousness without any personal interpretation. Arjuna was taught Bhagavad Gita by Krishna, no? Would you like to be Arjuna, standing in front of Krishna directly? Very good opportunity, no? To learn. If you understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, this is presented exactly as Krishna presented to Arjuna. No personal interpretation. And therefore, so many people throughout the world are taking to this Krishna Bhakti. Because this is exactly what Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. There is spiritual power in this, because it is not transformed by anyone's personal interpretation. Simply as Krishna wanted to present it, it is being presented here. These books are being presented like this. So please take these books. We have more books, no? We like to give books. Students should be studying books. Lots of books. In allopathy, the medical, you see, they have so many big books they're studying. They have to cram it all in their heads. So many things. In Ayurveda also, or it's more mokic, same thing.
Conditions are not so good in Ayurveda system also.
Mm. Traditionally, the teaching would be like guru-shishya relationship, no?
But the Western system has been adopted.
Mm. Not so practical for the science itself.
Yeah.
Square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a case of yena tena prakarena. What to do?
Yena
prakarena. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions? What do we say about other religions? What do you mean by other religion? If God is one, then can religion be more than one? Well, you study and see. I wasn't born into this way of life, but I took it up after seeing different things and considering what is the best path. So we're also not saying that, presuming most of you are what could be called born Hindus, I presume probably most of you are, that you might follow something because you're born into it. But better to follow with intelligence, understand what we're doing, why we're doing, and if we actually understand what we're doing, why we're doing, then we'll do it much better, with conviction. If we think I'm only doing it because it makes my grandmother happy, then we won't do it with much conviction. So better to understand. That's why we're giving these books. So you can get spiritual knowledge. Krishna spoke to Arjuna to give him spiritual knowledge. So for me, that was an attractive feature of Krishna consciousness. That instead of saying, well, you just have to follow because we told you to do. But rather, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna explaining to Arjuna and clearing all his doubts. So it appeals to the intelligence. It's not simply dogmatic.